Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you've joined us for this Friday study edition of Basic Gospel. Today, we'll be concluding our study through the book of 1 John, an exciting, insightful study into this letter from the Apostle Paul, the Apostle John. And to get us underway before I stumble further, here's Bob Christopher. Well, go for it.
Well, thanks, Bob. We are going to conclude this wonderful little book. I mean, it is just powerful. It really is relevant to today. And I think it's a book we need to read just so often during every single year. So we've just been thrilled to be able to work through its chapters and verses and really see the wonderful assurance that we have in Christ and the warnings about the false teaching that is out there in this world today. Well, let's dive in because we're in a section that really brings the assurance of the believer to a pinnacle, to a powerful, powerful place. And it begins with testimony. And it begins with God's testimony. And this Bible that we have in our hands from start to finish really is God's testimony concerning his son. And the writers, the apostles, as far as the New Testament is concerned, are really just echoing that testimony, are bringing it to us. God has moved in their hearts, has given them the testimony, has given them the Spirit. The Spirit has guided them into all truth. The Spirit has taken the things of the Lord Jesus and made them known to these apostles. And these apostles have written that down. And so they were eyewitnesses to Jesus. They touched him. They beheld him. They ate with him. They saw his physicality, his humanness. They recognized that there was a divinity about him as well. And they brought all that together in these letters. And so they are just parroting the testimony God has concerning his son in these particular letters. So let's just dive into chapter 5, verse 6. This is he, Jesus, who came by water and blood, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. Now, what do they agree about? Well, they agree about Jesus Christ. Yeah. They agree with God the Father's testimony concerning the Son. And when we make the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, we fall in alignment, in agreement with these that testify as well. So what is the water? What is the blood? What is the Spirit? Well, we know what the Spirit is. That's the Spirit of God. His job is to take the things of the Lord Jesus and make them known. So we know his testimony is going to be true concerning Jesus. What is the water and the blood? There are many different interpretations or ideas about what that can mean as far as the baptism and the death of Jesus. That's one interpretation. I think in light of the overall view of 1 John and some of the warnings that John has put in this letter, it is really talking about both Jesus's humanity and his deity. That if you deny either one, you've not come to the real Jesus.
Yeah.
You are presenting a counterfeit Jesus. And John was an eyewitness. He saw Jesus in the flesh. He knew he was from the beginning, that he was with God, that he was God, and that at a point in time he became flesh and blood and dwelt among us, and they were able to behold his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. So that's the message they presented, but there was this counterfeit group, these false prophets, these deceivers that were trying to present Jesus in a different way. And he's saying, hey, they've missed the mark. They're saying that Jesus didn't come in the flesh. They're saying that Jesus didn't really die on a cross, that Jesus didn't really rise from the dead physically. That's what they're saying. So they're missing the real Jesus. And so the water and the blood is just underscoring this testimony that John has been bringing at the very beginning of this book, at the very beginning of his gospel account, that this Jesus is both fully God and fully man, and that in him is life everlasting. That's the testimony. Yeah. That's God's testimony concerning his son. That's the testimony of Scripture. That's the testimony of the Spirit. And that's what we confess when we come to Christ by faith. So all of these things are working together to give us the sure foundation that Jesus is the Christ. And as we talked about last week, those who believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, it's those who have overcome the world.
Yeah.
It is those who have escaped the corruption of the world and are able to participate in his divine nature, actually share in his life. So now that's the testimony concerning the Son. And then he goes on to say that we have this testimony in us, that God has placed this testimony concerning his Son inside of us. I love this. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. So God has spoken. He spoke about Jesus, his Son, at the baptism. He said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." He spoke about his Son at the transfiguration. "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." So God has spoken. Even in the book of Hebrews, he said, in the past he spoke through our forefathers in various ways and by various means, but now he is speaking to us through his Son. So Jesus is God's final word to man. There's no other plan apart from Jesus Christ. He was the Lamb of God before the foundations of this world. So it's always been God's plan to send Jesus at a point in time. And those who deny that plan, who deny Jesus, are the ones who are liars. And it's very clear, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. One of those popular heretics back in the time actually said that Jesus existed as a human, and at his baptism, the Christ came down upon him, and just before he died on the cross, the Christ left him.
Yes.
So that it was only the human side of this thing, not even a being, a thing, that died. And John is saying, no, that cannot be true.
That's a counterfeit
true.
Jesus.
Absolutely.
That is not the right testimony concerning the Son. That's not in alignment with what the water and the blood and the Spirit and God the Father have clearly said about Jesus and what these apostles are now saying through this writing. So we have this testimony in ourselves. That is assurance of salvation, that we are saying the same thing about Jesus Christ the Son that God the Father does. That means we're right with God.
Yeah. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Glad you've joined us for this, the final session of the study of 1 John. Now, in addition to the study, we have many resources to help you understand and walk daily in the good news of the new covenant, and you can find them all under the Resources tab, actually the Resources drop-down menu at basicgospel.net. Again, that's under Resources at basicgospel.net. And also, friends, we have a wonderful matching gift offer of $50,000, and that's a wonderful way for you, our listeners, to double the impact of your year-end gifts to Basic Gospel. Now, you can give in several ways, including the Basic Gospel app and PayPal. And at the website, you'll see our street address if you'd like to or choose to donate by check. But the easiest way is to click donate at basicgospel.net, or in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. We'll be ever thankful for your partnership. So now back to the study in 1 John.
Yes, indeed. So we have this testimony inside of us. It's there because the Spirit of God is inside of us. And the Spirit of God and our spirits have become one together. So we speak in harmony. We're on the same page. So whatever the Spirit of God has said about Jesus Christ the Son, now we say the exact same thing.
Yes.
We confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Now, that testimony extends out just a little bit, and we see that in verse 11. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So we all come into this world dead spiritually. We are in need of life, and there's only one source of life that we can have, and that's the life that is found in Jesus. So he says, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life.
Period.
So it's just very clear. Mm-hmm. You either have Jesus and you're saved eternally, or you reject Jesus and you experience eternal death. So only Jesus has life. There's no other place to find it. That's why he said that he was the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes.
That's why Christianity is so exclusive. It's not that, God would hope there would be many ways that people could find him, but that's not the issue. The issue is that we were dead and we needed life, and there's no other place in the world that offers eternal life. Only Jesus offers eternal life because he's the only one who is eternal life. So if you reject Jesus, you're rejecting the only offer of life that you will ever get.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the world may offer you all sorts of things, and it may look like life, but in the end, it's still going to be death. It's going to be empty. It's going to be hollow. There's no substance to it. You're going to still be left dead in your sins. So there's only one place to go to find life, and that is Jesus Christ the Son. So who has the life? Whoever has the life has the Son, has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And he writes these things to us so that we may know that we have eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that just great the apostle would do that?
Yeah.
I mean, he would spend all of this time in a letter for really one purpose for believers, to assure us that if we have Jesus, the real Jesus, not the counterfeit Jesus, that we have life everlasting. And it's not something that we wish for or hope for or are going to find out, one day in the by and by. It's something that we can know right now, right here, that we have everlasting life. And boy, what great news is that?
Oh, indeed, because everything in our world, religious and otherwise, everything in our world tells us that that's not true. It says, no, you've got to go out and get your own. Get it before somebody else does. Climb over the back of other people so you can get it. Oh, be nice about it, but you're still there to bunt them out of the way. John says, no, look, you just come to Jesus.
Yes.
You will get the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will tell you every day of your life, you belong to me. You've got eternal salvation. No one can take you out of my hand. I mean, that's the message I want to hear.
Yes.
And I hear it from the Spirit.
Right. So we have the Word of God that's giving us this testimony, mm-hmm. that's giving us this assurance. So I would encourage every single listener, everyone who can hear my voice, to memorize 1 John 5:13. And if you want to, memorize 1 John 5:11-13, because that's the testimony. So you have that witness of the Word of God, but then you have the testimony of the Spirit of God living inside of you. And those two are in harmony. They're not in contradiction. They're in harmony one with another. And so this testimony is inside of you, and this testimony is clearly there in the Word of God. Now, what does this testimony do for us? Well, it gives us confidence. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. So this isn't a carte blanche to just pray whatever. This is praying according to God's will. We have God living inside of us. We have the testimony concerning his Son living inside of us. And so we will be able to understand his will for us.
Yes.
As a result. And so as we discern and listen to what the Spirit of God is doing inside of us and we pray accordingly, we have the confidence that he hears and that he's going to answer. Boy, what great news is that?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this knowing, just to be slightly technical, this knowing is, or this confidence rather, is based on knowing. And what is it that we know? That we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is confirming to us that we have eternal life. Therefore, we can have confidence. It's not that we have confidence because I'm a nice guy or I accomplished something. It's because the Holy Spirit tells us to be confident.
Yes.
And therefore to pray according to his will.
Right. And that is such a good point, Richard. We lack in, I think, the Christian world today, a full measure of confidence and boldness as believers in Christ. And it's because we're looking out there to find it. Mm-hmm. We're looking for worldly courage, for worldly confidence, and that means success as the world would define it. But God says, oh, no, I'm going to give you spirit confidence. And that spirit is going to embolden you to live as a child of light in this world of darkness. And that is so powerful. That is so wonderful. So we have this confidence because we have Jesus. And because we have Jesus, we have eternal life. And because we have eternal life, that's all about knowing God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. It's all about relationship. We know that when we pray according to his will hear and he will answer.
Absolutely. Well, it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis. Glad you're with us for this final study in the book of 1 John. And as I said last week, we know many times there are distractions while you're listening to these study editions. So if there's something you didn't quite get, or if you miss any of the full sessions, or if you would like a review, you can listen to them again by visiting basicgospel.net/teaching. The entire archive is there, and we hope you'll take full advantage of it, and that you'll share it with others who want to learn and grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the archive is open freely to everyone at basicgospel.net/teaching. And while we're at it, I want to remind you once again of this incredible $50,000 matching gift offer that we've received. Every dollar you give between now and the 31st will be doubled, and so that's great impact.
Yes, it is, and we hope many people will double the impact of their gift and help others know that he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life.
Yeah.
Give so that folks can have assurance that they have Jesus.
Yeah.
So we greatly appreciate that. Well, let's dive back in. This next little section is a very confusing section for many, many people, but I think in light of the context of the overall book, it's really made clear. There were people, there were deceivers, there were false teachers. They were trying to lead the people away from the true knowledge of Christ by presenting a false Christ, a counterfeit Christ. And after a while, they left. Those people left. They departed because they weren't really a part of the real fellowship. Mm-hmm. And that was made clear. And so what John is saying in this little section is there are those that are going to be confused by some of this false teaching. Pray for them and offer life to them. Bring them to Jesus.
Yeah.
And so when they come to Jesus, what are they going to experience? Life. And that's what he says. He shall ask and God will give him life to those who commit sins that do not lead to death. And then there's a sin that leads to death. And I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. So what is the sin that leads to death? Well, ultimately, it's the rejection of Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a part of what these deceivers were doing.
Yeah.
They were saying no to the eyewitnesses, the folks that were with Jesus, who heard him teach, who saw him perform miracles, who watched him die, who watched him be buried, who watched him come back to life, were with him during those resurrection days. And then they were given the Spirit to bring that message. Mm-hmm. These false prophets, these deceivers, had already rejected that.
Yeah.
They had rejected that message. Well, what is that? That's the sin that leads to death. Yeah. The rejection of Jesus is the sin that leads to death. Now, we don't know who's committed that or not, so we just pray for people that their eyes would be open. God knows all about that, and we just need to leave those things in God's hand. And I think that's all that John is saying here in this particular passage. But then he shifts gear and wants to get back to the assurance side. So he comes up with this fabulous little conclusion. There was a powerful introduction that really laid the groundwork for the entire book. And this is really a tightly woven summary statement. And it's just powerful in its context. So it says, we know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. But who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. So again, we have some assurance.
Yes.
That if Christ has come to live inside of us, we can't continue living in unbelief. Mm-hmm. Our heart has been changed, and so we're going to live as believers in Jesus. And we know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. So that's light and darkness.
Yep.
So we were rescued out of darkness, and we were placed into the light of Jesus Christ. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we might know him who is true. So why did Jesus come? He came to make his Father known to us. And what did the Father do? He gave a testimony concerning his Son.
Yeah.
So they were in cooperation in how this message was going to be imparted to us. So Jesus Christ gave us understanding about the true nature of God himself so that we may know him is true, him who is true. Why did Jesus do that? So that we could know God the Father. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Talk about good news.
Oh, yeah,
Talk about a summary statement. Talk about a powerful testimony. I mean, we were lost. We were dead. Jesus, the story of Jesus came and hit us like a ton of bricks. We recognize that he is truth, that he has given us the real story about God the Father. We've recognized that in him is life, and we've received him. And now we're no longer in the world, but we are in Jesus. And it's in him that we have eternal life.
Yeah.
And that's the conclusion. And then he ends with this, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Now that seems like a weird ending, but it's really not. Oh. Because any message that lifts up Jesus, or that does not lift up Jesus as fully God, fully man, as the light of the world, as eternal life, is a message that leads to idolatry. If you're not worshiping the real Jesus, if you're not in fellowship with the real Jesus, then you're worshiping an idol.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He's just making one final warning, one final statement. Be aware of these deceivers. They don't have your best interests at mind. They're going to try to lead you away from the real Jesus, the one who has life. Be aware and stay focused on the one true Jesus, the one who is the true God and eternal life.
Great admonitions from the book of 1 John, everybody. And friends, we hope you've enjoyed and learned and grown from this study. We've certainly enjoyed bringing it to you. Now, this is the final session of this study, so if you've missed any of the sessions, you can review them all at basicgospel.net/teaching. Again, basicgospel.net/teaching. Now, over this upcoming weekend before Christmas, please remember that you have an extraordinary opportunity to double the impact of your year-end gifts to Basic Gospel because of a $50,000 matching gift offer. Every dollar you give will be matched up to that $50,000, and we hope to make that happen by Christmas. You can give in several good ways, including the Basic Gospel app and PayPal. And at the website, you'll see our street address if you choose to donate by check. But the easiest way is to click donate at basicgospel.net, or in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. Again, PayPal or the Basic Gospel app. At the website, our street address, you'll find it to send your check, or at basicgospel.net or basicgospel.net/Canada. $50,000 matching gift, you can double the impact of your gift. Well, now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be here again on Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.